exists.
Marcus Sahaba, online radio, broadcasting to South Africa and all over the world.
We're now joined by Sonwabile Unathi Hinama, lecturer on tourism at Tshwane University of Technology. Sonwabile, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir, and good morning to all of the listeners.
29% unemployment rate. Many people say, in actual fact, the real unemployment is disguised by the figures.
Yes, the expanded definition of unemployment includes those people who have given up on the opportunity of work. So we define them as discouraged work seekers. Mm. That is actually around about 38%.
Sure, 38%. 38% of people without regular income.
Without regular income, which makes them the primary beneficiaries of our grant system, which supports 17,000,000 South Africans compared to 5 million individual taxpayers. So you can imagine those dynamics, hey, for a country. Mm.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very difficult. We are told, like, quite a few years ago, South Africa's economy needed to grow at around about 6% if it was going to add more jobs than it was adding school leavers to the economy.
But again, remember, the structural challenge in South Africa is that even the greatest growth of jobs is in the tertiary sector of the economy. And the vast majority of South Africans don't have skills to get employment within the tertiary sector of the economy. Mm. So it's what we define as the skills mismatch in South Africa, which is very, very painful.
Yes.
Because our schooling system does not produce the necessary outcomes to create an enabling environment for school leavers and university graduates to get direct employment.
So how are we going to overcome this problem? We've got a skills gap. We've got a job creation gap. How we are, and not only that, I mean, the really worrying thing about the unemployed is that so many of them are young people. You know, that kind of like adds towards a tendency to political instability if so many young people hopeful for their futures are watching their dreams being extinguished on a daily basis by a failure for the economy to accommodate them.
Well, unfortunately, I think South Africa very soon, one of these days, will get its own Arab Spring. Because remember, the unemployed become easy political fodder. And we've seen in many municipalities how service delivery strikes is a form of employment, actually. You know, people with money will just come and say, guys, I'll give you so much money, just protest and close the road. Mm. So it's actually very, very worrying. And remember, we've got this demographic dividend where there's a high number of young people that are entering our population and they're not getting any opportunities. So it's very, very bad. It's dire. I think as South Africa, we're not paying attention. We are too busy with rhetoric. We're not paying attention to this serious, serious challenge.
Yes. Yeah, it really is a very big and serious challenge. And I mean, the answers of 20 years ago are simply not enough for the requirements of today.
Oh, yes. I don't think we're very radical. I don't think we're very serious about making changes to our country, you know. Mm. I think with the stagnation we experience, we're supposed to be much more radical in changing our country into the right path of growth. Mm. But unfortunately, we're not doing that. It's very, very sad, eh?
Okay, we're not going to get into factional discussions about radical economic transformation. But I believe you have something to say about tourism in terms of it perhaps maybe has got an almost magical ability to help us in this regard.
You know, tourism, the beauty about tourism is because a tourism service is primarily produced by a human being. Mm. So we define it as a labor-intensive sector. Now, when there are more tourists coming to South Africa, more labor-intensive jobs, which require low skills, will be created. Mm. So now, we in the tourism sector have always been advocating that we need to promote more tourism to this country. But the state must obviously create the enabling environment to allow private businesses to be able to grow the share of tourists that come to this country. Mm. When tourism grows, employment grows. And, I mean, you've seen even in places like Soweto how the growth of tourism has created so many employment opportunities and created a tourism value chain. Mm. So this sector is an easy sector to enter, but obviously it requires a strong state that creates an enabling environment. And unfortunately, in South Africa, the enabling environment has been decreasing. It's not been growing, our enabling environment, for tourism. Mm. So that has reduced tourism competitiveness for South Africa, meaning less tourists. And the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, in the year 2015, we had year-on-year growth of 13%. Then the visa regulations came in, and that growth went to 7%.
Yes, that was regarding regulations of parents and their children and
Regulations. And South Africa will not even achieve more than 4% growth in tourism numbers this year. And that's because safety has become a very major issue, you know. You go anywhere in the world, and people always speak about how beautiful our country is. But they speak about safety and security in the same sentence as speaking about our beauty of our country.
Yeah.
And remember, the issue of safety, as we always say in tourism, if the cities and towns are great enough for the citizens to stay there, then the tourists naturally come. Crime is a daily reality for us as South Africans. And obviously, it also impacts on the tourists. So up until we fix the crime situation for locals, then it is impossible for us to fix the crime situation for the tourists.
Do you think we're getting the right kind of message out to other countries? Are we perhaps misunderstanding ourselves as who we are in South Africa? Maybe we're just trying to sell a too perfect picture of South Africa rather than, you know, putting an honest kind of picture out there and matching people's expectations with the reality.
Well, I think our messaging is always appropriate because we go out overseas and tell people that South Africa has got a good story to tell. And also, there are bad parts. I mean, anywhere in the world, there are places where you'll be told, don't go there. It might not be as safe. But remember now, there is more talk, there is more a reflection on the crime situation and the violent nature of crime in South Africa going overseas. And then that obviously then makes tourists to say, South Africa is an unsafe country. And remember, the tourism industry is highly competitive. And we must also understand that we have a geographic disadvantage. We're at the southern tip of Africa. So a tourist can always choose Kenya, which is might be five hours to fly there. A tourist can always choose Tanzania. They don't have to come here. So we must clearly understand we are not this, you know, this great country when it comes to tourism, because other countries beat us hands down just about how many hours you have to fly to come to the destination.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I seem to recall reading somewhere that if the flight costs exceed the amount of money that you want to spend in the country, then it's not really worth going there. That must kind of like constrain the amount of numbers coming to South Africa.
Oh, yes. I mean, and also then there's also this fear that I'm not safe in that country, you know?
Yes. Also another issue, a criticism of tourism is that, I've read about small tour operators in Soweto, bed and breakfast operators, and sometimes people have spent very often, in fact, in most cases, people have spent some precious money building up their house into a B&B, and then they see The big tour operators are basically monopolizing the flow of tourists into Soweto. You find big hotel groups. They've got their own coaches bringing tourists into Soweto. They go to one or two selected places and then move out again. And very often the places they go they have their lunch. We're going to lunch in Soweto. They have a place that is connected to the hotel. So even in that way, the hotel is taking money out of the township. How are we going to try and ensure that there's kind of like broad-based benefits coming out of tourism?
You know, there's a new market which is growing, which we call millennial travelers. And millennial travelers are all about unique experiences.
Yeah.
And places like Soweto can coexist. Allow the big tour operators to come and monopolize, but start to cultivate these millennials, because millennials want unique experiences.
Yeah.
So they will be much more adventurous and want to come and stay in Soweto and experience that, you know. But you have to create an authentic experience. They are all about authentic experiences. And I think that's the message that smaller tourism attractions must start to do. I mean, that's the same argument I've always told the people in the Boer Kaap and the Cape, that don't focus on the big tour operators. Focus on Muslim tourists who want to be immersed in the Muslim culture of the Boer Kaap and in the history of the Boer Kaap. So you don't have to, so they can, both markets can coexist.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, There definitely is a market for Muslim tourism. You know, Muslims are also worried about getting halal food and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Being close to prayer facilities and
prayer
so on.
Prayer facilities and all
of that. All of these things. But it's not like it's, the Muslim tourism sector, but you'll also get all kinds of other kind of like different tourism sectors. There's a strong kind of like German connection to South Africa and to Namibia. The British always want to come and go and visit the British, the Boer War sites and so on in KwaZulu-Natal. Other people want to come and see the nature. Other people want to come and see like the political reality of South Africa. Huh? You also get these kind of like adventure tourists who want to see the reality rather than to be pampered and, you know, go to the spa and have a massage and all of that kind of stuff. Some people want to come to South Africa. They want to see the hard reality.
The hard reality. And, I mean, if you look at Australia, Australia has based itself as an adventure tourism destination.
Mm.
And it's attracting a lot of young people that come who want to go to the small towns off the beaten track. They don't want to follow what the big operators are doing. So that's a market that I don't think we're harnessing enough in South Africa. I don't think we're making enough noise about it.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine, she was working for a tourism organization. She said, you know, when you're selling South Africa, you have to realize you're not selling a picture postcard circumstance. When you want to sell South Africa, there has to be an honesty in advertising. And the best way to do this isn't to sell South Africa as an awesome place, but to sell South Africa as a flawsome place. Yes, we've got mistakes. We've got potholes in roads. We've got traffic lights that don't work. But when you look at the overall picture in terms of how South Africa comes together, we're one of the best countries in the world.
Oh, yes, we are. I mean, the beauty of this country is unmatched by anyone. I mean, you go to Cape Town, Durban, Johannesburg, those are different cultures, you know. I mean, the other countries where it's only one religion and the culture is the same. I mean, South Africa is cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
And I don't think we are selling that enough about our cosmopolitan nature, which, I mean, people enjoy. Because remember, tourists, as they mature, they become much more interested in their culture and heritage.
Mm.
And also, even the struggle of apartheid, you know. Not this one where, which is all about Mandela, but, I mean, the untold stories, you know, the untold stories about Brandfort, the untold stories about the Nazi and his contribution to the struggle for liberation.
Mm.
I don't think we are curating and harnessing that, because there is always a story in each and every town about how apartheid impacted on the citizens. And I don't think that story has been told. And that's what makes each and every town, city, suburb, and even a street unique about our struggle for independence.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at Lanesia, we've still got extremes here. You know, we've got parts of Lanesia, there's absolute poverty, intergenerational unemployment, and so on. And in other parts of Lanesia, you can see the people have built beautiful mansions. And and all of that kind of like tells a tale. It tells a tale of struggle. But I don't recall ever reading anywhere or seeing any kind of like a general public awareness of exactly what the history is that has gone into, like, say, building the place where we live.
I mean, even how Lanesia was segregated from other areas, you know, forced removals.
So Firetown, 1958.
So Firetown, yes. I mean, you come to Pretoria, you look at Azadville, and all of these people are coming from Marabastad for the creation of even other colored townships. So that story has not been told.
And we've got Cliptown just on the other side of the highway. That's a freedom charter and all of that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that could be done, but, you know, I don't see any tourism cultures going through Lanesia. And I think maybe if there's anyone to blame, it's only people living in Lanesia who are to blame for missing out on an opportunity.
And I mean, there is a platform such as Airbnb where you can even curator, like, for like 10 people, you know, for a walking tour of Lanesia or a cooking tour of Lanesia.
Tour of Lanesia. Now there, you know. Yeah.
I mean, there's one establishment on the Airbnb platform. It's called Boxing with Goggles. There are these goggles that play, you know, boxing, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can curate a tour around that. I mean, in Limpopo, we know there are these goggles who play soccer.
Yes.
You can even curate a tour staying, playing soccer with Mokoko. So the tourism industry is creating, with all of these technology platforms, so many new avenues to enter the sector at a low price, at a low cost to you. You don't have to be a big tour operator, but you can just try to attract a niche market.
Yes. If we all just focus on that spark within, and we try and make it glow. That's what we really need to do. It doesn't matter how dark it is outside. As long as the spark inside your heart is glowing brightly, things are going to be okay.
I mean, imagine a postcard. Enjoy Ramadan or Diwali in Lenasia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot that every one of us in South Africa has to offer.
You know, we just need passionate people.
Right, Sonwabile Hamana Henama, thank you for joining us, for those kind words, and may you have a wonderful day.
You too, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.